Game on.
That's like exactly what we did last week.
Did we say game on?
I think you did game on.
No, I've never said that before.
And then the game is on, and then it got into this Sherlock Holmes 221B Baker Street thing.
I want to go back and hear the tape because I don't think I ever say game on.
Pretty sure you did.
Okay, check the tape.
All right, but this game, definitely on.
Game over.
Hello and welcome to episode 335 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam. That's it, Adam.
Just Adam.
I'm not sure if we have to play this episode or not. It kind of depends on how many photo challenge submissions we got.
What was your over-under?
It was 10.
See you later.
I'm out. We can't play this.
It has been good to know you. Hello and welcome to episode 1 of the One Hoser Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. The good end.
the end of the hosers. Wow. People, that's people basically saying we don't want you. We want the One Hoser Photo Show.
I'm not going to take it personally, but I am.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm doing this one, and then I'm out.
Yeah.
I've already gotten this far.
Well, next month's photo challenge is basically why I hate Adam and Alan. That's what it's going to be.
We'll probably get more submissions that way.
You'll probably get 7 versus the 6 that we got this month.
Maybe we should cancel the monthly photo challenge.
It's looking that way.
This is Sudoku part 2.
Yeah.
All right.
Well.
We did it.
I did it, yeah.
Do we count that 2 in the 7 submissions?
No, but we still don't get up to the benchmark of 10.
Okay. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, yeah. I'm not...
People listen to the show, though. That's the weird part.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my toaster is up balanced on the edge of my tub.
I was going to say either that or your dad just downloads it like 8,000 times.
That's possible. That okay. is possible. Not on purpose, just because he's old.
Auto-download. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because that's what the people do.
Amazon.
If you need a new toaster because you dropped yours in the tub, buy it on Amazon.
Okay.
Click through our site. Both of you listening and submitting, click through our site. That 12 Great. Cents will keep us going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want people to think this is... No. Did okay. I? No. All my purchases are coming right now via the like a baseball stuff and... That's what a hassle that is.
Okay, so not Amazon.
No.
Save that for your baseball podcast.
They don't sell what I need baseball wise on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bought a tripod, not on Amazon.
Not on Amazon. Okay, well, but click through our site. Help us out. We appreciate it. Now meanwhile, hey Adam, what's going on?
I bought a tripod. Oh, the reason I brought it up is that yeah. I intended to buy it on Amazon, but I wanted it quickly, and it was actually a rare situation where my local camera store had mm-hmm. the same tripod on sale for it was a significant saving. So sometimes right. Amazon's cheaper, sometimes it's the same, and it's a convenience thing. I don't have to go out to the store, which mm-hmm. I love.
Talk to people.
Yeah, talk to people, deal with that, but. Yeah, this was a situation where exact same item was cheaper at the store, and I wanted it quickly, meaning that day, so I just went and bought it.
It's getting to the point where there better be an Amazon truck parked outside your house
mm-hmm.
if you want to, yeah.
I could have had it same day delivery. That's how awesome that was.
Right. So what did you end up getting?
I bought a Vanguard. I talked about, I don't know, maybe a year ago or 10 months ago or something about, you know, wanting to get a new tripod, a lightweight tripod. And then I kind of revisited. I think I'd mentioned it briefly maybe a few weeks ago, but pulled the trigger, bought one, basically exactly what I need. I just need a pretty basic tripod that, number one, the factors for me, and everybody's different depending on how much they use a tripod. I don't use a tripod that often. Mm-hmm. When I do use one, I want it to be a couple of things. I want it to be light because I don't like, you know, carrying it around. So I figure light is probably one of the most important variables because that's my decisive factor in whether I even bring it with me. Otherwise, I just think, oh, I'll make do without it. And I don't shoot a lot of waterfalls or long exposures. So right. I'm trying to think of something that might help me, you know, in a portrait sense. And so I want something that's, you know, stable. That's important. Lightweight and compact, that's important. And it just needs to do basic tripod functions. I don't need it to do,
you need to stand there.
Yeah, I don't need it to be any, like, there's depending on how much you want to spend, there's anything from carbon fiber, which obviously, you know, makes it nice and light, mm-hmm. But to, you know, ones that can do every which way shooting at every possible imaginable angle. I don't need that either. So
That extendable arm then goes sideways and you can shoot straight down and like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I use that somewhere south of Never.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just came with it. I bought mine used from a guy for what I think was a pretty good deal. And so it had that. So it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I really need that. I think it might even just be a standard thing now.
Yeah, I think this one does a bunch of that, which, again, I won't ever use. I need to basically, you know, stand as a tripod would. And, I mean, it has a ball head, so that helps. So I ended up buying sort of a mid-level Vanguard. Vanguard has a whole series of lines and all sorts of, you know, depending on what you want, options, all that get very good reviews in photography websites and on Amazon as well. But I went with kind of a mid-level one, which was the VO 235AB is the one I got. They have a carbon, some of them say C, and those are the carbon fiber ones. The A's are the aluminum bodies. But mm-hmm. this thing is awesome, and I'll tell you why. Because number one, it's 3 pounds of weight. So to me, right away, that's amazing. That's about
slightly more than 1 kilo.
Yeah, slightly more than a kilo. It will hold, I believe, 13.5 pounds of camera / lens weight, mm-hmm. which is extraordinary considering how little it weighs. And it compacts down to 15 inches, which is as compact as you're going to find in a tripod that extends to normal length. Like, I think it goes up to 50 something inches, so for enough for I can set it at eye level for me standing. I'm not 6'8", so if you're that, you might want to get one that goes a little higher, but for the average kind of height person, this is perfect for getting eye level, but just so much smaller and compact than what I previously had, about half the size. I think the other one, you know, that I had, the Manfrotto one, which was okay, it was starting to fall apart, that's why it was time to get a new one, but would go down to, I think I checked it at roughly, you know, 28 inches as compact it would get. So this is tiny, compact, and mm-hmm. light, and it does all the jobs. Its construction is really good. It has little, at the bottom of the feet, it has little adjustable, like you can even, for floors, you can have the rubber knobs, but then they screw out to make little spikes to mm-hmm. to spike it into ground. It has all the little adjustable angled legs, so they have like locking points, so it can lock out at various angles, which my other one didn't, which I could see coming in handy to make it stable at a lower angle. Mm-hmm. And it does all the standard tripod things. The locking mechanisms on the legs are much better and metal, and you can tighten them even more, so there's an adjustable tightening screw on there to make sure that it's as stable as you want it to be.
Is that accessible though? Like,
it's just a push button.
Oh, so doesn't you have like a socket?
No, well, the socket is only if you wanted to crank the locking mechanism. Like, it's a regular flip lock, but you can make that. You can even adjust that for tension as well. So you're
right,
not
but if you
want to
adjust
often.
That for tension, like you need like a socket set.
It just comes with a little Allen key. That's all.
Oh, see? Yeah, yeah, see, I ran into that, not with my tripod, but with my background stands. You know, like for the white background and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Did I lose you?
A little bit.
Okay. You know my background, the white background stand?
Yeah.
Mine has those little things where you can adjust the tension, but you need a dedicated, like you need a little socket set.
Okay.
And of course, it was a weird, like, it was a weird size. So I had to actually go buy one specifically just for that.
And you don't really need to use it very often, right? Like, that's only if you found that it was the tensioning kind of lock was getting loose or something.
Which mine was, and I had to go out and buy one. That's just why. Because at some point, like, it's one of those things that you just forget about until you're on location setting it up. And oh, yeah, this isn't tight.
Yeah.
And so I end up just taking, like, a little bit of tape, like, and wrapping it around the thing so it doesn't slide down, like, doesn't de-telescope.
Right.
And then I have to peel the tape off after. And after, like, 9 or 10 or 41 times of that, I finally said, yeah, I'm just going to go buy the 99-cent socket.
Right.
Probably save myself the hassle. So now I have it.
Yeah. And again, it came with that, so that's a non-issue. But the collapsible part that's awesome is that it has this kind of, like, little push button at the bottom. So the reason it can get so compact is it literally can flip the ball head part, like, which would stick up around and go completely down underneath where the bottom of the legs are. So it's completely flat on top and then it tucks in at the bottom. So again, it makes it super, super compact. And it's so easy. You push a button, you flip it up, it locks in place and you're done. And my other tripod head didn't have the panoramic function where you can completely spin the base. So this has that. I think that's becoming, again, more standard, but something that I like to do is take panoramas. And so if I want to keep that panorama level and do this easily and quickly, I that's a function where when I'm using a tripod as little as I do, that's something that I would like it to be able to do. So it's nice that it has that kind of
ball. I think you nailed it when you said, like, you know, hey, I don't use a tripod very often, but when I do, you know, and that's the big takeaway, because, you know, I don't eat sushi very often. So I'm just going to get it for $1 all you can eat. Yeah. That's a horrible idea. Like, there's actually no point. And I think we've probably mentioned this on the show before, that, like, that's always one of the biggest fallacies is, well, I don't really use a tripod, so I'm really not going to spend more than $19.95 on one, because, you know, I don't use it that often. Well, you will use that never, like successfully.
Right.
You will use that never. Those are garbage. And you might as well just handhold everything at that point. So correct. With that, when even though you don't use it that often, what does this tripod go for?
I think the
including the ball head.
Yeah, including the ball head, like just a pretty basic ball head, but again, one that's will do everything that I need it to do. I think it was on sale for $150 Canadian. I think in the US it goes for that about regular, and they have all different models that go up. Like the fancy Vanguard one goes on Amazon for about $280. So they've got a range from about $300 down to ones that are even more basic than this that go for around $100. So there's everything in between. So this one was about $180 regular and was on sale for $150. So I picked it up for that.
That's hard to cry about.
Exactly. And for what I need it to do, this was actually cheaper than the original one I got, and far more versatile, far lighter, far more compact. And again, is from what I can tell and build and all that, and from reading reviews, is very solid, well constructed, will do what I need it to do. So there you go.
Which is what?
Which is basically
active. No, I'm just joking.
But I use it for, I mean, where I use it probably the most is when I just want to set up a little photo booth. Like, I do that.
Right.
And I just want the camera to not fall over. Like, that's where I use it. And I know how you've been saying you use it in studio. I intended to use it for setting up the green screen setup, where I could just make sure that it's in the same spot. So then that way, you know, if I stand each person, you know, in a team green screen sort of situation in the same spot, then their relative size and all that is going to be right. I'm not going to have to try to fiddle with it and say, oh, that kid's a little taller, and maybe I was standing a little further away, so I could use it in that sort of situation as well.
Yes. I also use it as a sort of sometimes I'll use it like in a semi tripod mode, in that I'll use the ball, I get the ball head on there, and I'll get it tight but not locked off, so I can still kind of move it around a little bit. I can frame up, but I won't tighten it, and then I'll just shoot that way, so that it's basically static. I'm not bouncing the camera around, but I still have the, you know, I can move it around somewhat.
Right. And so that saves you on editing time, I'm sure, too.
It does, and especially where you notice it, like if you're shooting in studio and you have, let's say, most times I'm shooting these kind of headshots, I'm shooting with a 70 to 200.
Right.
F4 that we have, F4L, non-IS. Adam and I both have the non-IS, which in most situations is not really an issue. You don't really need the IS, I find.
Myself as well.
Except in this situation, because you're shooting, you know, in the studio with, say, the 5D Mark II, well, your max shutter speed, sync speed, is 1/200th of a second. Really 1/160th. You should give it a little bit of bleed room, depending on how you're triggering the flashes. But I get away with 1/200th, but 1/160th is actually a little more safe.
Mm-hmm.
So at 1/160th, now you're shooting at 200. Even if you're holding it still, you're going to get the occasional shot is going to have a little bit of jiggle to it if you're handheld.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yep.
So there's not much you can do about that. You can go ahead and you can set the shutter to 1/2000th of a second if you like. You're not going to be very happy with the little stripe of image that you get,
right?
And the rest being black. So that's a situation where, yeah, you really do need a tripod to, especially, if you fire off, three or four shots, one of them's going to be sharp, or maybe two out of the four, definitely going to be sharp, but it might not be the exact one that you want.
Right.
So there's where the studio, tripod in the studio, but on the other hand, I like to work fast, get in, get out, nobody gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah, that's where I get torn as well. But again, this is again a perfect purchase for me in terms of how much I want to spend, what I'm going to use it for. It's going to do everything I need. I suggest anybody who's uses a tripod in a similar vein to what we're talking about, just check this Vanguard series out, the VO series, because it's a pretty good bang for your buck, do what you need to do kind of level of tripod.
Awesome.
All right, there you go.
Baseball update. How'd the kid do?
My kid.
Your kid.
He did well. He played for both his team and then the year up team.
How's he doing in the higher level?
He's absolutely fine. He definitely would be in the top third of that as well.
Good.
Yeah, so he has no problem with that. It just comes down to, whether or not they have enough players. He's now played for a couple different teams that now know him. So he's pretty quick to get the call when a team is down men, but he did really well. This is the thing, and at his age of baseball, so he's playing 8 and 9 year olds depending on which team he plays with. He still has not made an out yet. So batting 1,000, he's
really
fifty for fifty. Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. So they don't make that many outs. Although there was one 3-up, 3-down inning that his team, when they were with the 9-year-olds, made on another team, a couple of pop-ups in the infield and a ground ball throw out. So that was the first time I've seen a 3-up, 3-down with the
pitching
machine.
Hang on, if he just doesn't get out, that's a hit? That's how you're scoring it?
Yes. I mean, as far as he hasn't been put out. So there definitely have been balls that ground balls that, again, with good enough infielding, should be outs. But
I see.
But he has yet to be a put out so far this season. He did also, after, because he had two games, a doubleheader, his team and the other team. His team was the second team. He did have his first home run of the season. That I've seen anyways. I think there was one other that I didn't see. But the first one I saw, which was a legitimate, there's no fence at the field they play on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a legitimate inside the park home run. Like, the kid didn't pick up the ball until he was rounded second. And
nice.
He cruised home. And that was a walk-off home run. It was the last inning, and there's a 4-run cap to the innings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 3-run home run that ended the game. So he was pretty stoked about that.
Wow.
Yeah, so hitting the ball well, we've been going to the park too, and I've been hitting some balls off the. We have our own hitting. It's not really a machine, but sort of the slingshot type thing,
like soft toss.
Yeah, like they use in the games, the pitching machine thing that they call it. And I hit some bombs at the park the other day.
Oh, good for you!
Yeah, so there you go. There's my there's my update.
He sounds like he had a better week. Well, we won two more games.
Okay,
so we're now 9-1, doing well.
Wow.
I don't know. I didn't have my best day at the plate. I had one hit and then a sac fly, a couple RBIs. But definitely not batting 1,000 like Big Jack there.
Yeah.
But we'll see next week. We'll fire it up. But nothing to cry about.
Okay.
I'm not quitting.
Okay.
You know, so there's that. Held off on the waterproof camera purchase.
Okay.
Based on what you said.
Yeah, based on our discussion, you had to think it over a little more.
I did. And I'm not totally swearing it off. I just, you know, took to heart some of what you said and thinking, I might change my mind depending on how much time we spend at the water. I say the pool, but we're actually when you hear this, we're back from we're spending about 5 days out at a lake here in Germany.
Okay.
And so we'll be out on the lake, and so, you know, will it have come in handy then? I don't know. Definitely not shooting underwater stuff at the lake. That's pointless. But we'll take the Canon 40D with me, and we'll likely take it out on the water. But meanwhile, it's how many pictures am I going to take under the water? I feel like there's going to be one or two of each of my kids jumping in with, and then you'll get all the bubbles and everything like that, and then that's that. So let's say it's 400 euros. That's 100 euros per photo.
Right.
Probably better off to rent one for a day. Get those, and then just return the thing.
Gotcha.
That's my thinking. Yeah. We did have a question about it, though. Derek asked about. He said, "Hey, it's great. He likes to hear us, you know, talking about our disposable DSLRs."
Yeah,
but he would be much more concerned about the lens.
Right. Did Derek submit a monthly challenge?
I believe he did.
Okay, I was going to say if he didn't, don't answer his question.
No, he did. He absolutely did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's one of the six.
Big save. Yeah. Well, I should say six. It's actually five. There's one that was submitted late last month, like after we recorded.
Right.
One of our listeners submitted one for the window light, but it actually has a bit of lens flare in it. So I'm going to bring it up just because.
Oh, no. We're digging deep.
That's not for me. That's not for us. It doesn't make it less embarrassing. It was more so because I appreciated his effort. And he submitted it like just after we recorded.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's 100% for Steve and Flo. That's not for us.
Okay. So what was Derek's question again?
He wanted to know about the lens. Like he would be more concerned about the lens than he would the body, considering, you know, going in the lake or the pool or wherever we're going, the ocean.
Yeah.
So basically, I answered his email, but for those listening, for the other guy listening, I also have a disposable lens.
Okay.
And not on purpose. It's like it was an expensive lens. I spent $500 on it 10 years ago, which now that you prorate it over that time is nothing, really, considering the amount of shots I got with it. But it is I have the Sigma 30mm f1.4.
Right.
Which is for the crop sensor cameras. It doesn't cover full frame and thus is no good on either of my 5Ds. And so it's essentially end of life as it is, because it's version one of the lens.
Mm-hmm.
So they came out with a version two, you know, a few years ago now. And so even if I wanted to sell the lens, which is in really good shape, actually, little wear and tear on the outside, but other than that, it takes great photos. Even if I wanted to sell it, I wouldn't get much of anything for it. Because
right.
It's the version one, this version two is much better, would sell, you know, people are going to buy that. And so thus, once my 40D dies, this is going to become a paperweight.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, do my business on the back of a flat deck truck, so don't really need a paperweight.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and shoot this and treat it as a disposable lens.
Yeah. I just, again, my mode of thinking is, I'm going to be careful. Like, I'm not dunking this thing underwater. Mm-hmm. I'm not overly concerned about it, to be honest. I'll put the 85, I'll put the 50 millimeter on my camera, and I'll go out into the lake. I'm just not going to dunk it. I'm going to hold it above water. And if it gets a tiny sprinkle of water on it, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about when the kids are running around throwing water balloons. I'm still going to shoot with my lenses as well. So the way I treat it is, I mean, this stuff isn't, I mean, like you say, there is a fragility to it. I have been amazed at the durability of it and the way I use my stuff. And I know the way a lot of, you know, photographers use their stuff is they're pretty rough on it. And this stuff is, it holds up. Like, it's pro quality is, and it costs more for a reason, right? You know, you're gonna get more for what you pay for. So if you are shooting the Nifty 50 1.8, yeah, I'd be more concerned about getting that weight because that's going to die a heck of a lot quicker than the 51.4. As far as, you know, the quality of the build, like, they're meant to kick it a lot quicker. Let's put it that way.
I mean, there are times like where I've been with my 30 mil lens where I've been in the deep end of a pool and I've been treading water with it, like nowhere near the edge. And so I wouldn't do that with my 50 because if I slip and it goes under, that's just kind of stupid.
And I wouldn't do that either, but I will stand in water that's kind of, you know, up to my chest and shoot that without ever thinking twice about it. And if it dies, it dies. That's on me. It's the implied risk that I'm willing to take.
Yes. But there you go. All right. Have you shot your this is the shoot anything interesting section. Have you shot your green screen yet?
I have. I've shot the photos and I've started doing the green screening. So I'm in the process. I had the scenario of the only time I was going to be able to do this was an afternoon game, so at 2 o'clock, where midday sun, and now I'm trying to green screen this. So
this was hockey.
No, this is baseball.
I thought you were shooting a hockey one as well.
No, hockey is only spring hockey now. We're playing baseball only right now. We're doing hockey like a skills thing once a week, but we're not.
I thought that's what it was for. Okay, no, so now you're shooting at 2 o'clock. Okay,
so midday sun, and the reason is our games are always kind of in the afternoon, like on Sundays, and we do a skills thing on Friday. Practices on Wednesday. I'm there for Fridays and Sundays, and Fridays is a skills where half our team, because it's a bunch of teams that come, like three teams, and you do a skills thing, but the level of commitment is not super high, and so lots of people don't show up. So it would be a waste of my time to try to organize it for a Friday and then shoot five people and then think, okay, you know, that's the team photo, or I'll have to bring the thing more than once, which I wasn't prepared to do. So I gave everyone warning. For our games, our attendance is usually pretty good. Said, this is the day I'm going to do it. And we got, I think, 8 of 9 players. Like, there's only 9 players on our team because one kid's dropped out, didn't like baseball. So we have 9 players, and I got 8 of 9, and I set it up. But we're talking again 2 o'clock midday sun. So what I did was I did not want to try to orchestrate, you know, 4 or 5 lights. And so what I did was I put the green screen in the sun and basically let that be illuminated by the ambient light. And then I found a sort of a treed area where I could stand the kids basically under in the shade, and then light them with some flashes and some umbrellas, like one on each side, and then try to balance the exposure so that I still got like a green background, right?
Right.
That in theory sounds really good.
Sun and the clouds.
Yeah, it was much more difficult than I imagined because of the changing light on the background. But also, I thought for sure doing it this way is that I would have less sort of green haloing effect on the kids. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, there's lots of green tinge. So I can't figure out if that, and on the front, like of their clothes, like on their gray pants and their gray shirt, you get lots of kind of greeny reflections, which again, I can't figure out why, but it's making for a heck of a lot more post-production editing to try to clean up. Normally you get just the kind of green edges that even after you run it through, you know, Photoshop and remove the green screen, you usually get like some green edging that sometimes you have to clean up. That's one thing. That's not a problem. This is sort of green on the clothes themselves, like kind of so I haven't had to exactly deal with this, but again, it makes for 9 times, you know, 15 minutes trying to go through and clean that all up. And then the other thing is I wanted to shoot our own baseball diamond, right? And so I went to do this, and so I'm trying to take just kind of like, again, like a background plate
shot
that I can insert in as their background. And I did that, and then I just found like none of the diamonds that we use are very diamond looking. Like there are a lot of they don't look like a nice baseball diamond. So then I thought, okay, there's a nice diamond and fence and background in the Steveston diamond, you know, like where they play the senior men's ball, like right down in Steveston by the library. So I shot that, but the infield is very ugly there, and there's
all dirt.
It's just a dirt infield, and there's not like it doesn't. I like the grass mixed with the dirt, but then there's another diamond in Richmond, Gibbons Field. You probably know that one, the little one.
I grew up playing there, man.
Yeah, so that one has a very nice looking infield, but just a horrible outfield, like to the street where cars are driving by, and there's power lines and poles. So what I did is I tried to replicate the angle, and I shot the same photo, or what I tried to shoot is the same photo from behind home plate of the Steveston diamond, and then went to Gibbons and shot the same photo again, and then I basically used top half of the diamond from Steveston, bottom half of the nice infield and red dirt and grass mix of Gibbons, and then I basically cut them together. And I shot them only about an hour apart, so as far as lighting goes and stuff, it was very similar. They're facing a different direction, but it's time of day where the sun's overhead anyways. And mix them together and can't tell, and it looks like just one sweet diamond that they should have made.
I hear what you're saying. I know those parks very well.
And that's splitting hairs, and again, an unnecessary detail that nobody else is going to know or care. But if you looked at the same photo done with one or the other, you just would say, like, you know, it just doesn't look that good. You don't know why. It's just not that pleasing. And the combination together just looks right. It looks like what a Little League diamond should look like.
This is what I run into a lot with shooting on our field. Like, our field is fine, but it's not photogenic at all. It's just, so there's like what you need for like for a baseball field to register and be look good is like a great background, like maybe like behind like the outfield fence. If it's got all trees, like Nat Bailey or something like that, it's great. And you know, and Nat Bailey has a great outfield wall and a great scoreboard. Like that's a photogenic park.
Right.
And the stands are amazing. Like they're really, it's old time, you know, an old time park, and it looks really great, and the field itself is nice. So I mean, and the dugouts are great. Like these are the things that you need in order to register, because you're probably not going to shoot a super wide angle shot, but if you have these little elements that can act as a background, you're good to go.
Right.
And that's what I find a big challenge when I'm shooting our, you know, promo shots over here. Great. Look forward to seeing it. We'll see if you share it or not. Maybe just put like blacked out faces or something like that. But
Maybe I'll do that. I'll do that just easier.
Because that would be less creepy than just posting the picture. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'll just leave Jack's face in, and everybody else will just be kind of like, you know.
No, you just got to put Jack's face on everybody else.
Oh, even creepier.
First base, yeah. Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that just because it'll look funny.
That will look funny.
Yeah.
So
and I'll do a poor job of it too. I'll make the head super big or something.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Photo challenge this week is it's our monthly challenge, as we said.
Don't say it again.
We're doing it. So yeah, we have one submission for every 5 days of the month. I'm pretty good at math, so.
I remember when you introduced this idea, like how you were so convinced that this was really gonna go over and be a hit.
I wasn't convinced. What we got feedback, we got people asking, hey man, like if you do this, we'll participate. I wish you guys weren't all such liars. So maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I'm bad at Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's your fault.
All right, let's get into that. So let's have a look at the people who did participate. I'm not going to punish them.
Okay,
because we had some good submissions. So the very top, I think the first one might be my favorite one.
Well, that one's good. I like that too. Yeah, that's really good.
Also, it looks a lot like your daughter 4 years ago.
It does, and even the blinds look like the blinds that we have, like leading out to our little backyard. So that.
And that's, didn't she have a microphone? This is getting weird.
Yeah, she does have microphone. She went from play microphone like that at about that age to real, you know, studio quality microphone that she has now.
Right. And this is even the back of the couch move that we always, although not how we suggested it, but it's all, I'm tying it all in here.
Yeah, no, it's a really nice, and depending on the lens and just the angle of light and whatnot, you get, it's always a different kind of flare, I find. You never know really what you've got until you check the photos on the computer. It never does it justice on the LCD. That's part of what I find challenging about shooting lens flare.
Yes.
And this one is awesome. I don't know if it looked this good on the LCD, or if that was, you know, part of it is, you know, playing with the contrast and levels and all that. But this is just a great composition that works nicely with the lens flare. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's true. Sometimes, well, as we'll talk a little bit, you know, sometimes it adds, sometimes it subtracts from the image. But this one was really, really cool.
So you want to mention the person's name?
Well, Jason Evans, 47.
Okay, Jason Evans. Good work, Jason.
Yeah, I think, I mean, actually, we joke about the very lack of submissions, but some of them, like, they're very good. The ones that are in are I do like. But this one is probably, if not my favorite, top two.
Okay.
All right, next we got J.C. Russo from Posamaquoddy.
Sure.
Quasimapati? Where was it? Where was Pete's Dragon from?
Oh, I don't remember.
All right. Well, thanks for participating. No, it says on Assateague Island, and I'm assuming that's right down the road from Quasimapati.
Sure.
Anyways, here are his wife and son playing on the dunes. And again, nice little lens flare here. A good image anyways with the blue sky in behind.
Yeah,
just that sense of open space, and the shadows kind of being thrown down to the camera right. But in my opinion, the lens flare really adds to this.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, overwhelming. Sometimes, like, this one's a lot more subtle than the last time.
Yes.
Whereas the lens flare in the last one really is, you know, part of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. This is more of an accent to the subject.
Agreed.
Yeah, so, but nice. Both totally different uses of it, and both pleasing to the eye.
Yes. All right, and then Derek, the aforementioned Derek, who did ask the question, he did submit one.
Okay.
And here he is enjoying the sunset and nature. So I don't know if this is a self-portrait. I don't know what's going on here. But again, also great use of it, like great time of day. Just the fact that, like, those rays are coming in, like, in through the window.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Dig that. Dig the colors. Dig the little sort of essentially the short lighting on the subject.
Yeah.
Looks really, really good. Really good use of lens flare here.
Okay. Agreed.
All right. Next up, we got Link Shoots. And that one's obviously this. He calls it Sunrise from Honeycomb Cliffs, but I think we all knew that. You know,
okay.
We're all very familiar with Big Cottonwood Canyon.
Sure.
Yeah, also great use. I like the little star effect.
Yes. Yeah, it looks super cool with, you know, the lens flare kind of coming through there on top of it, right? Like,
yes.
You know, the circular kind of a bokeh effect that looks cool, that adds to it with the direction that the sun kind of spikes are coming out, the lighting strips. And I imagine this is tinkered in a totally different way in Photoshop or Lightroom, just to create such sharp edges there.
It could be a filter. I'm assuming it's a star filter.
Okay.
If you can actually create your own if you like. Like, you can just, I've seen guys do it with an old CD cover, and you just, you know, cut, sort of scrape lines into it. But you can actually get a star filter to do something like this. I remember shooting with one at film school, and it looks kind of funky, but I don't have one, don't get much use out of it, but it looks really cool here. And I like the nice golden light, and yet we still see some blue in the shadows. It's that time of night or day when that effect is really highlighted.
Yeah, looks good.
All right, and then the next one is either my favorite or number two, going back to our first submission. I really like what's going on here. This is
the racetrack one.
Yeah, ArcPix Lab. It's LA Racing. And so I had heard of Irwin Dale, I think, the racetrack, but I'm not that familiar with it, so I had to look it up where it is. It's in California, outside of Los Angeles. And I like this because it really sets the mood. Like, you don't need to know to hear much about what's going on here. You know what's going on just by looking at this.
Yeah.
The time of day. Obviously, you know, taken right at noon. Late in the day, probably, you know, like a long day of racing. And you've been to California a few times, haven't you?
Yep.
I know this feeling. Like, summertime in Vancouver is great and nice and sunny and warm, but the evening, it's a different feeling than evening in Los Angeles in the summer. And this reminds me of what it's like. Like, it's still hot. It's still whatever it is. You know, if it's 35 degrees in daytime, it's 34 at this time a day.
Right.
Especially out of the track where, it's probably radiating off the blacktop.
Gotcha.
And so I really feel this one. And the use of lens flare really adds to it.
I agree. This is really just a cool-looking photo that I'm sure for... You know, someone who's into racing, this might be something that they'd put on their wall, right? Like, it's just a cool-looking shot that says all the things that you just mentioned.
I will ask. I'll ask someone who's into LA racing.
There you go.
I wonder if he knows him.
Maybe.
Do you know Matt, the moderator?
Well, I see his Twitter stuff.
ArcPix. Oh, no, I know you do.
Yeah.
I'm asking ArcPix Lab.
Oh. Okay.
It must be the same circles. He must know Matt D'Andrea because he's big into cars and... that area, so.
Okay, there maybe he does.
There you go. I'll talk to Matt and make sure he sees this image.
Okay.
And the last one is the holdover that Stephen Flo submitted. And you can see a nice little bit. It's a very different use of lens flare. It's not that it's very specific, the dots that you're seeing.
Yeah, it's subtle. It's much
very
more subtle.
But it's also a good window light shot, and I wanted to give him honorable mention from last week.
Okay, so and make it look like we had one more submission.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. At that point, it's really you're just whatever the opposite of gilding the lily is. That's what we're doing. Yeah. So to get to ours now, I had trouble with mine.
Me too.
Like it just I don't know what it was. Like I've shot lens flare in the past, both on purpose. Well, no, usually on purpose. Usually when I'm shooting lens flare, I'm very conscious of it, and thus it's on purpose, or I'm avoiding it, one or the other. And so I felt like the need to sort of justify myself and say, look, I can do it. So I posted three from previous years, not necessarily challenge pictures, although they might have been, but just to remind people that I can do this.
Right.
So here's one of my wife and daughter just after my daughter was born, a couple months after.
This was a lens flare challenge.
I think it was.
From a time long ago.
Yes, from year one back when we were.
Yeah, this just was a challenge. So this was a good one that I really liked at the time. I still like. Mm-hmm. But this was definitely a challenge photo. I remember that photo well. There you go. So
this was 6 years ago. Back when we weren't doing the monthly challenge, and we only had five fewer submissions. Yeah. Fun fact.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, and then a couple years later, in 2014, we were at the aforementioned Nat Bailey Stadium. Funny we mentioned that. This was at a Vancouver Canadiens game, and this was that perfect time of night when the sun was just dipping behind the first base. In behind my daughter there is the first base bleachers.
Yeah.
We're sitting on the third base side, and this is a shot of just at that perfect time. And so you can see there's a little bit of lens flare going on, especially behind her left shoulder. But they're also...
I think this is a rim light challenge, this photo.
It might have been. I think this was also a challenge, but... this was a favorite one of mine. And then last year I shot another one on purpose, of Clarence from our team. This is one of the covers from last year. And I wanted to set the tone of, hey, it's summer's back, and it's those, you know, the sort of hot August nights when you know, you feel like this.
You know what my favorite part about this image is?
What's that?
The Eurocars strip on his back that looks like it was done by a 6-year-old. That is so budget right there.
No, the problem is it's not even budget. It's just a poor choice of font. I don't want to. I don't think they listen to the show. I don't want to alienate a sponsor because they're still a sponsor. But we no longer wear these uniforms. By the way,
right.
One of my mandate this year was getting rid of these sleeveless jerseys because I hate them. Cannot stand them. I think they look stupid. These vests. I don't know who wears them. Like nobody wears them anymore because they're terrible.
Do you have the same sponsor font on your new jerseys?
No, because they so we got the new jerseys with a different sponsor, and I handled that. I designed the logo. I picked the font, very basic font. I think in past challenge photos, if you see like the picture of like my baseball card, for example, you can see the sponsor logo on the front, the right top right of the jersey. And I was very specific, and it actually cost more. Cost an extra €35 to get the arched lettering. And the guy selling it to me tried to talk me out of it. And he says, it's not worth the $35. I said, yeah, it is. And so we did that. But no, you're absolutely right. We did not have to put the Eurocars on our new jerseys, thankfully.
Okay.
No offense to Eurocars. I wasn't there when this font was chosen. I would have talked them out of this and said, no. Don't do it.
It does look terrible.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay.
Anyways, now let's get into this month's challenge this time around. So here's mine going, you know, here I led into it with three previous ones. This is my submission.
It's good. I like it.
Why?
The lens flare adds something to the photo. I think it would be a good photo either way. But smiling face, you know, nice kind of background that doesn't distract from the image, and you know, baseball bat pose, and just by shooting directly into the sun like this, you get a cool looking effect that, because it's still, it's there, it's nice, it lends something as far as time of day and sort of a warm summer like feel, but doesn't really you know, distract from the subject, which is your daughter and the smiling face and the baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's a good use of it.
It
and,
is.
I like it.
Wildly forced.
Yeah.
I like it much better when it comes naturally. Now, I as I mentioned, I had a lot of trouble with this. I don't know if you checked yesterday. I had a different photo in there. I just deleted.
I did not check.
You didn't check. I was trying something different, like a little bit of a different move, and it really failed. But I found, like, I guess I just wasn't anywhere at that time of day when lens flare looks good, like how I imagine it to look. So I was never anywhere interesting, doing anything interesting with anybody interesting at that time of day for like a whole entire month, which I'm assuming the bulk of our listeners would also find. But then this morning I thought, before I record, I gotta get something. I can't use that submission that I had. It was terrible. And so I thought, I'll take a picture of my son in the early morning just to flip the script. Normally I shoot in the evening, right? Well, he decided today was the day that he was gonna throw up all over the place and then was not up for a photo.
Right.
So couldn't get anything. But because I wasn't happy, and I know we were going to record this evening, I took my daughter out in the backyard at around 2 o'clock. This is 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Wow.
Now we have a large umbrella, like a patio umbrella, that I basically opened up and placed her under the very brutal noonday sun. I placed her under that open shade to get an exposure on her. In the back, the trees are, like the bushes are kind of, they're still a little bit in the shade, so it provides kind of an even backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I threw a full CTO onto a flash and put it off camera right, in behind.
Wow, I would have never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
This is well disguised.
It's a cheat.
Yeah, but still, it works. It's good.
It ended up working. I like this a lot better than anything else I shot naturally.
Yeah.
And this might be a thing where, you know, in 10 years when the senility has kicked in and I just forget how I did this, I might like this better.
Yeah, See, for me, not knowing it, I just thought it was the perfect time of day and just just a nice shot. Yeah.
Well, I'm a faker.
There you go. It's okay. Sometimes you do what you got to do.
Yes. All right. Let's get into yours.
Yeah. Mine was not faked.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hope not.
I the only reason, like, I didn't get a good shot. I don't like this shot particularly. It's not quite the time of day that I wanted to do this. So I'm down low. The sun's too high in the sky, and I'm down low trying to shoot up so that I can actually. I'm forcing lens flare here.
Yes.
And not wasn't my intention. Just the way it worked out. I had a cooperative child for about 2 minutes. But here was my problem: is that I wanted to fill in her face, and so I used a silver reflector.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should have made that a gold reflector. In hindsight, yeah. I did not want to waste the extra 28 seconds, and so I basically had the silver reflector. I'm super low to get the angle where I'm going to get lens flare. And I'm shooting into the sun, but I'm bouncing back with that silver reflector up at her, which made it impossible for her to keep her eyes open.
Yes.
So this is the best of the squinty eyes of all the 15 photos that I snapped in succession. And I thought I would get something. I didn't care. I knew I'd get lens flare. I didn't know what it was going to look like or anything. This was all start to finish, maybe 2 minutes. So it was, okay, get down low, use the reflector, fill in her face. Okay, now I'm going to just snap in rapid fire 20 photos. Hoping or 15 photos, hoping that her eyes are going to be actually open on one of them, and yeah, turns out they weren't. And this was the closest thing to eyes open. She was having fun and laughing and whatnot. So I thought I might get a good expression, but not, and I even thought, oh, if her eyes were completely closed on one of them, I might have something good with her laughing and eyes closed. I got nothing but what looked like the Exorcist of eyes just tiny bit open, and so I went with this. There's lens flare. We don't need to dissect it. It's not a great photo. I feel like I let everyone down, but everyone let me down, so we're even.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's a wonderful way to look at it.
I submitted a photo at least. Let's
you
say
did
that much.
Now yeah. Now take this in the spirit which is intended. You know that this is nowhere near your well. This is challenge 335.
Yeah.
And this one isn't in the top 334.
That's okay. That's
no, but I'm you know okay. that. But now I say okay that, that, saying that until I faked it, this was still better than my other ones. Like, I don't know what happened, how we both just are that bad this month.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, it's the colors here, the reflector. The fact that the reflected light is coming from down below is wildly unflattering for everybody except for Dracula.
Yeah, and I agree.
Just is because it's not a thing. Like it's one of those things that it doesn't exist in life.
Exactly.
Like, you're never
unless
that.
You're walking on a shiny dance floor.
Yeah. So exactly. And so Saturday Night Fever, Tony Manero is going to be lit like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be different colors. So it's. And then again, like the lens flare, it's one of those things that yes, check the box, you got lens flare.
Yeah,
and again, all, I had a handful all. Of those until I had to cheat.
Yeah, and that's I think the point is lens flare when you're at the right time of day with a nice location. That's kind of where I shoot it. This making lens flare a challenge and not really waiting until the right time of day. Like you have to be, at the beach at 8 o'clock. That's great at this time of year. If you're at the beach at 8 o'clock, and it's a clear day, you're gonna get all kinds of options for lens flare. But I never even occurred to me to fake it in the way you did. Like that never registered. I like what you did as far as a photo challenge, but as far as a learning tool, shoot lens flare when lens flare's there. Like I would never make a habit of, oh hey, I'm gonna go grab a lens flare shot. Like it's just if you're in the right place at the right time, it's an option. Just like shooting a silhouette is, right?
It's one of those things. I figured we had a month to do it. That in that month
it would happen.
It would come up, but turns out not this month. It'll be every day next month. when we've been canceled.
That's right.
So there is that. Now we talked briefly. We did an episode about it like a year or something ago. Called Forcing Style.
Right.
If you go to our website and check out the episodes link, you can scroll down and find it. This is a great example of for both of us where it's like, if it's not there, don't force it because it's just going to look – you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
I mean, just to backtrack on mine, I didn't cheat necessarily. I didn't cheat, you know, according to the rules. It was just lens flare.
No, exactly. It's just
not what I had in mind.
Yeah, and realistically, when are you really going to do this? Like, you're never going to think. You'll just think, I'll wait for a better time of day and a different day. You wouldn't just, oh, hey, I'm going to set up a fake lens flare shot. This is purely for a challenge,
yeah.
But not something that you're going to take with you as, oh, I'm going to this. I really need a lens flare shot, so this is how I'm
going
to do it.
No, I'm
it's too much work.
I'm going nuts on this.
It's too much effort.
It is too much effort.
Yeah.
To said the two laziest guys.
Yeah.
With a podcast.
That's right.
All right.
That's canceled now.
So, I'm not even sure they're airing this part. And they being me. I am they. That's a great title for a book I'm never going to write. I am they.
And get a shirt.
Yeah. Well, I'll get 100 and sell none. Wow, what a downer. Let's go out on a high note. We are gonna try the monthly challenge for June.
Oh, don't do it.
Doing it. I'm doing it.
Your monthly challenge is reinstate Sudoku.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Exivoku.
Oh, that's right. Exivoku.
Get it right, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, or we'll just do some sort of a camera-related word jumble.
I like that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. A word jumble. Okay, you come up with. Yeah, okay. We're not doing that.
Okay.
I kind of am doing that now.
All right. I'll submit a word. I'm gonna get an app that jumbles them for you, and I'll just put a whole bunch of camera words in it.
I just it for me it'll be trying to write the funny one at the end. You know, I don't know how
the phrase or whatever.
Yeah. All right, maybe that'll happen for June, but no, there will be. I mean, for us, it's going to happen anyway because it's going to be our last photo challenge, weekly photo challenge of the month anyway.
Okay,
so all we're doing, we're getting a heads up, and so for the June monthly challenge is summer.
Okay, should be able to do that. I hope I can do that.
I'm pretty sure if you can't do that, you have to check your schedule, man.
Okay, all right. I already quit.
Yeah, this might bring you back. Okay. But we also need a challenge for next week. And,
okay.
That one, also summer. No, can't do that. That one's going to be water.
Okay.
Based on the fact that I did not purchase the waterproof camera. And, hey, going to the lake tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good for you. I'm not sure that's
in the next 10 days, you will do something related to water.
I hope maybe. Okay, I'll try. Yeah.
Try to incorporate lens flare.
Or the tap. That's my chance. I'm gonna give a teaser there. Something with the tap.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Timothy Hutton and Tom Cruise?
Sean sure. Penn? I'm going to go to the aquarium. How about that?
See, I know you're going to do something with water.
I never go to the aquarium.
If you don't go to the pool or the water park, it's going to rain. So either
that's
way,
true.
You're dialed in.
Okay. All right.
All right. So no excuses.
Okay.
So June is summer. Next week is water. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Great. You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links and the photos and all the stuff we just talked about.
Great.
And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.